Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. You have myself, Tommy Daslow, sitting across from me in his work attire. It's Ben Vanell.
Welcome to the only show that dares ask the question, where's Tommy been?
In the air for 14 hours. Yeah. Fuck. The jet lag has kicked in and I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah. Also joining us, you know him from...
He's not a guest.
No, I'm just trying to remember where I know him from because the jet lag's kicked in and I can't remember his name.
Right.
It's Adam Knox.
Hey, the only show that asks the question, what that mouth do?
Mm-hmm. Now, yes, I was just in the States doing gigs and a lot of people asked about the show, a lot of Filth fans who I met after the Dum Dum shows that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, a lot of Yanks just... wanting to know more about Adam Knox. You're like an Australian oddity to them.
Really?
Like, I think we're already, us as Australians, we're already fascinating to the Americans, and then you just take it to the next level.
you just take the cake.
Like, you're fascinating here. So imagine what you're like to them.
I feel objectified. I'm going to come back at them with the kind of fury and fire that I... Actually, you know what? That's a joke that may age poorly.
Yeah, I got asked I got asked on three separate occasions about the scooter incident.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right.
Re-asked for my take. I'm like, it's on record. We went through this. I don't want this to be my Groundhog Day where everywhere I go, I have to relive that banal conversation that you and I had about a scooter that you found on a roof.
Well, hello to everyone over in America.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
I would
As
hope
you guys say, how you going? Like Joey. No, what does he say?
He says, how you doing?
He says, how you doing?
Idiot.
Yeah.
How are you going?
And Ben, I don't know if you'll consider this a compliment or an insult, but
yes.
you are not fucked enough to be directly singled out by any of the Americans that I met.
No, that's fair. That's how I like it. I slide under the radar. And then...
Those are the ones you really got to watch out for.
Oh, boy.
He was always quiet, except for all the screaming I heard come from his apartment.
I love Screamo.
I kind of half jokingly put a thing on our Facebook. Did I mention this last week? When I was in New York saying that I was going to do a meet and greet in Central Park if anyone was keen.
Mm. You only say that you did that half jokingly because no one showed up.
Kind of, yeah. But no, well, yeah, it was like, this is a joke, but if people say that they're keen, I will go and do it.
Yeah. Right.
So is it still a joke? I don't know.
But I didn't even want a birthday party.
But it was just all people going, oh, I'm at work.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you come to this part of the city instead? It's like people wanting me to go door to door of the offices of all the people who listen to us in New York,
yep.
Which, yeah. So it was sad that didn't pan out.
Again, someone saying, if you come here, I'll meet you. That's saying I don't want to come and meet you.
Yeah.
I'm at work, so if you come here, I'll have to see you.
I was disappointed that no madmen had the absolute stones to just throw the address up in the feed and just let me go for it. Because if someone had offered up their address and given me the directions for how to get there on public transport,
yes,
and offered to reimburse me for the subway ticket, I would have done it in a second. I would have absolutely done it.
I love your commitment.
If you're stupid enough to be thinking of doing that, don't put your address on the internet. Because I'm going to show up and I'm going to say that I live there, and then the cops are going to say, prove that you live here, and I'm going to say the address, and they're going to go, fuck, he's got us dead to rights.
Yeah, so just go to, what is it, Cardigan Street? What number is it, Knox?
Don't say my address.
We'll make it easy for you. You don't have to go anywhere.
I don't believe
people will look that up. People keep telling us to do it like a fucking live stream in my house.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how like unsettling that is?
Yeah.
Someone saying like, film your house, mate. Go on, not your house, mate. I'm saying, like, mate, film your house.
No, but that is unsettling.
Yeah, yeah,
someone's saying that.
You don't have a housemate, so yeah. That's even weirder.
Well, yeah.
It's you in a wig in a rocking chair in the corner of the room. It was thrilling to be in a country where amiibo are even harder to find than they are here. The Splatoon 2 ones that had come out the day before I left there, for there, couldn't find them anywhere.
Yeah. You would have a huge thrill going to Antarctica. Very difficult to find amiibo there.
You reckon?
You can find the penguin one real easily.
Yeah, the ice climbers are everywhere.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead very quickly, but speaking of the penguin, someone emailed us a question, which we will get to later.
Yeah.
But then as a PS in the email, they just ask us a question that's, you know, it's a fine question.
Yep.
It's not a game changer, but
it's a fine question.
But then at the end, they just chuck in, fun fact, my uncle did the voice acting and motion capture for the penguin in the Arkham VR experience.
Oh, wow.
That is really fun.
Send us an email all about that.
Yeah.
And then his email question is just something like, what's your favourite game?
Was it so?
I don't know. Get rid of that.
Who's that from? Oh, Samuel DeVito. That's exciting.
So Danny's back.
Yeah.
So two things. Danny's come back for the VR experience.
Yeah.
This is the first we've heard of it.
No. I think the catch line for the Batman VR experience was, Danny's back.
But also, he doesn't bother to say, my uncle is Danny DeVito.
Mm.
He just lists one obscure credit that his uncle has done. I mean, it is
my uncle.
In terms of this show, it is the credit that we're most interested in, to be fair.
Yes.
Has Danny DeVito done any other video game stuff?
I don't know if he would have done any at all. He would have been there. They made video games of Batman Returns.
He'd be one of those guys that you see is like a voice in a game. And they interview him about it, and he's just there going, I had no idea what the fuck this was.
Yeah.
My nephew, like, forced me into doing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, wonderful stuff. Thanks for... Hey, you know what? If you've got family members that did interesting video game stuff, let us know.
Yep.
Let's do a new family tree segment.
Okay.
What do you think about that, Knox?
Sure, man. Everyone is someone's family, so I don't really care. Like, you know what I mean?
But surely you care more if they're involved in video games.
I guess, but like...
What would be better?
Somebody emailing you saying...
Pizza Hut's son?
Someone saying, hey, my dad is the guy who did this thing. Like, oh, cool. You're a stranger, though, still.
I only
want to meet people I've already met.
What's the most impressive thing that someone in your family has done?
Apart from
give birth to you.
I won Class Clowns in 2006. I don't know. My dad used to design missiles.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
See, I don't know your dad, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah. My dad's name? Albert Einstein.
I don't think it is, Tommy.
No, Malbert. Malbert Einstein.
I stand by it. I don't think his name's Malbert Einstein at all.
He was really close to being a genius, but he wrote M=MC.
Go on, Knox.
So then that must mean that your name is...
Puts an M before everything except for Einstein.
That must mean that your name is Madam Einstein.
Yeah, I hate this riff.
It wasn't good, but gosh darn it, we gave it our best. So we wanted to follow up on
I've got jet lag too.
You just listen to way too much of the band Jet.
Oh, so you've got jet lag as well.
Yeah, your body clock thinks it's 2017, but your humor clock thinks it's 1982. So we wanted to follow up on a couple of things from last week that we talked about. Now, Ben, you sat there last week. You listened to me talk about Cave Story.
Mm.
You listened to Knox talk about Tacoma.
Yep.
And the little gears started turning in your head, and I thought
to myself,
sound like two pretty good games. This gives me an idea.
I'm going to quit the podcast.
This is so boring.
No, I played both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that they're both great.
It's
part of my contract.
Okay.
I completely agree with your take on Tacoma, Knox. Like, it's hard to explain why it's so like enthralling, but it just is. the writing is good enough that you're like, yeah, I really want to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is great. The visual design I really, really like. And
it
yeah,
totally kind of, works, yeah. It's
everything just, about it draws you in. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's basically a film or something.
Totally.
But there's something about being so in that space, being able to pick up little cans and shit yep. and look at them in detail.
Yeah, and because all the characters are quite well drawn in terms of the writing, you want to pick up the guitar that they were playing in the hologram. You want to learn more about their yep. history. You want to figure out what's going on and not so much in like a what's the mystery, like what's the solution, just in a like I'm interested in these people.
Yeah, same way if you go for a hike, you pick up a leaf or whatever.
Totally, or you ask about people's family members and what they've done.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try and play this week.
Yeah.
And then I'll give my thoughts about it next week's episode.
Okay.
And then the week after that, Knox, you can give your thoughts on it again.
Yeah, 3 week retrospective.
And all we do on this show from now on is we just go around in a circle talking about Tacoma.
So we've moved on from Nintendo then, I guess.
Yes.
Imagine speaking about the same game again and again every week. Oh, by the way, with Zelda this week, I've...
Played it again.
Actually, I did. But who gives a fuck?
Well, hey, yeah. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. I'll something say, I prepared earlier.
On Tacoma, it is a little less engaging than Firewatch for me. I don't know if it's like the fact that you're in space, you are kind of like the actual physical pace that you move at is slow. And the pace that the story unfolds at is slow. You kind of rewind stuff. It's,
yeah. And it's definitely not as linear or like yep. as paced or...
Ben, keep giving your thoughts so that Knox can take his jacket off because he's struggling to hold the mic and get his arm out of the sleeve.
I started worrying that it would make little scratchy noises on the microphone. Like
this is at least the fourth time this has happened on the podcast yes. where you've taken an item of clothing off and we felt the need to commentate it.
Yeah. But also you cut into me reviewing a game to just keep talking about a game you've already talked about while taking off your jacket.
Yeah, because it's hard to... I was taking the jacket off with one hand, so inevitably you're going to look like Mr. Bean fucking trying to take it off real
you were,
real sexily.
You were on the little Dum Dum Club the other week and you started tying your shoes up before we'd finished recording because you wanted to get out of there immediately.
That's rude.
We were wrapping it up and you couldn't hold the mic and tie your shoe up at the same time and we had to go... There's like a minute left. Like, just like you can do this in a minute.
He just wants to make a quick exit.
Yeah. Yeah. I want every activity to slightly overlap with the next one that I do.
Just slightly inconvenience everyone you work yeah. with.
Yeah, so yeah, I got to go in. Is it expensive?
No.
It's okay. Like $20, something like that.
It's one of these yeah. little, and it's a. Is it an easy finish? Like it's a.
Oh yeah, it's a few hours.
Oh four, cool, great.
Four or five
yeah,
okay. hours.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I think that you might not. Get into it. It is quite slow paced. You have to kind of, you have to like the movie 2001. Like it's very, it's all of that aesthetic and yeah. just, yeah, you kind of have to go with
what
the
flow.
You
think I don't like A Space Odyssey?
I don't like that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, here we go. This is huge.
So you like the Big Short and you don't like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I don't like 2001. It's so fucking slow.
Yeah.
It's really slow and yeah. like
some of us have an attention span.
Not me, baby.
Anyway, what's that over there?
No, I didn't. And also none of that shit happened in 2001. It's so inaccurate.
That's the only criticism I agree with. So yeah, Tacoma, good, but fuck, if you need a fast-paced game, that may not be enough for you.
Okay. Have you played Gone Home?
No.
I would say maybe give that a shot first.
Okay.
Because that's good as well. And it's like a lot more of a real personal story.
Oh, yeah.
But it's told in a similar fashion where you're just walking through this house.
Okay.
In like the mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've come home after a few years and you're finding out about what's happening to your family in the time in between.
Right,
and this story like unfolds. And it's really, it's good and it's only like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's worth playing too. So.
Okay.
Give
cool.
that a shot.
So that's 7 hours of my week that's taken up now.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot.
That's one work day, Tommy.
So you Tacoma, similar kind of vibe to Firewatch based on what you were saying?
Kind of, yeah. A little bit less fake tension, I guess you would say. But yeah, just as interesting and a similar style of gameplay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Better writing.
Yeah.
Better acting.
I disagree with the acting. I think the writing is probably better because of this. Like the way it's telling the story is inherently something that I don't really engage with usually. Like, the Everyone's Gone to the Rapture was the same thing. You're walking around and holograms are talking to you.
And it's kind of flashbacks as well, which is always a little...
Yeah. But the writing in this is good enough to hook at least me in. So that was cool. Cave Story Plus, I also went in on the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been playing a lot of this.
Yeah.
It's really addictive. It's so simple. Like, the gameplay is simple. The storytelling is, like, the right kind of vague where you're, like, getting hints and things and you just want to learn more.
It's cool how I always thought Cave Story was a really dumb name for it. For any game.
Yeah.
Not even really knowing anything about it. But it really is, this whole story is kind of unfolding in this cave that you're just in as a stranger.
And I knew that that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
That still makes it sound really stupid.
I'm too tired to try and work my way out of it. But
it really is a cave story.
I watched The Hunt for Red October the other day. They should have called it Submarine Story.
And at first, if it was called Submarine Story, you might think, that's a dumb name. But guess what, boys? It is in a submarine.
It's not a doco, so it is a story.
Yes.
It's not a maths equation. It is a story.
Yes.
But I mean more the fact that it's like this is just kind of happening and you just happen to be there for it.
Yes.
And your character is kind of influencing a little bit. Like, the characters are kind of asking you to go off and do stuff.
Yep.
But you still get the sense that this whole thing is like pre-existed before you got there and
totally.
This kind of bigger thing that you've just kind of stumbled onto.
Yeah.
And the whole mechanics, some of the dynamic of the world is kind of gradually explained to you, but for the most part, it's just it feels like it feels, even though it is very simplistic, it still feels very fleshed out.
Yeah.
And
totally.
The level design is really great and very complex. There's a lot of, like, you get put in these areas and then you just really have to really explore every nook and cranny of them. You know what?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me a bit of like a Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie kind of approach.
Metroid.
It's very much a 2D area. Metroid,
so, you have to kind of really scour every part.
Yeah. Well, it's like, to boil it down, it's like you start at one end, you get to the end, you have a new thing, you go back to the other end, and then you can get to the new area.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically
new
that.
Item opens new door, essentially.
And I will say, this probably is more to me just being shit at games than anything else, but there are a lot
just
of
just before
points,
you finish a sentence, I will say yes, it is because of that too.
I would like to cut in and agree.
There are a lot of points where I find myself kind of walking around and going back and forth around the area going, where the fuck is this thing?
Yeah.
And then
and that's just in his house while he's playing the game.
That's me looking down my trousers. there's a lot of points where it turns out all I needed to do was go and talk to a character that I'd already talked to before, but because I've done this one thing different, they now are going to offer up different information or trigger an event.
Yeah.
And I will say that sometimes that's not always made clear.
No.
Like, it's just me going,
that's fair.
I'll just go and talk to every fucking thing then.
But as
soon as it works, it's like, it was there, it was that thing all along.
But then it
is very satisfying because it's like, oh, cool, now I'm through that.
Totally. Story. Being someone who's played a lot of role-playing games, you just, like, that's just what you do. You talk to every single NPC over and over and over, hoping to unlock the next
thing. I'm starting to realize that's probably more to do with me and the games I play and how I play them. So I have started now in each area kind of really making sure it's like, okay, well, I've got to go, I'll just go back through this bit every single little bit
of it. It's very old-fashioned design.
Because
you have to keep in mind this is like a 13-year-old game that was based on games that were 10 years old at the time. So,
but
and
it's
also
amazing how it still feels fresh.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's the other thing. Like, it feels like it was a game made today with all of the knowledge of the past 20 years paying homage to those kind of games.
Are you up to the collecting the dogs?
No. I've just kind of teleported to the next area.
Why are you collecting dogs? Who let them out? Oh, shit, that's like that song. Whoops.
What if it turned out the whole game was just that's the question that the game is trying to answer? The final boss are all the Baja men.
Okay, name all the Baja men.
Okay, Larry, Curly, Mo.
That'd be called Dog Story.
It is interesting that it's called Cave Story, and it's this like really deep story that you don't know the full extent of when you go in and it's not revealed to you, but as you explore it more you find out all these little bits almost as though it were a butthole.
butthole story. Is that the sequel that guy's working on? Just that one dude by himself. That's the other thing too that is really cool, that it you know, not that I think the knowledge of how a game was made should influence your enjoyment of it, but the fact that it's just like one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now a team has kind of fleshed it out and like graphically upscaled and stuff. But yeah, and that really comes across that it is just, which I love seeing at the moment, just you can tell it's just one dude who just fucking loves video games. Like, it's never super, super overt, but there's definitely things where you can go, oh, that's definitely like Zelda. Like, that's the way some of the NPCs kind of talk to you and stuff. You go, that's very kind of villagery in Zelda's. And
same with things like Undertale as well. That like, Oteri thing. Like, I think we said this last week, is really cool.
And the thing of beefing up the weapons and them being able to, then them degrading if you
that mechanic, it's just, it's perfect. Yeah. It's so simple, but it fits perfectly with all the combat, the enemies, everything about it, platforming.
Because there's a certain, have you got the machine gun?
I've got rocket launcher and the flamethrower.
Oh, right. Well, the machine gun, when you've got it on level 3, you can shoot it into the ground and it'll propel you.
Oh,
so
you
can basically fly.
It's like a jetpack. Do you remember Jetpack Joyride?
Fucking great game. It's loved that,
Amazing game. So
Greg's brother made that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't interested in people's families, but it turns out I always have been.
We got to get Greg Larson in here, by the way.
Yes.
We've been saying that for ages. But anyway, so that, like, beyond just it being a more powerful weapon, that changes the stakes too, because you can get around so easily and then you take that hit of damage that scales you down to level 2.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, now, so then it's like frantically, fuck, I need to get more of those pellets to get this up to just make it a bit easier.
You know what? There's been a kind of a trend the past, 6-7 years of these rogue-like games where it's a platforming game where you have a character, you progress a bit, you die, you start again.
Yeah.
Your character changes to something else with slightly different stats, and you keep going. I really like the fact that this is just like a proper game that with progression, with leveling up, with all that kind of stuff. It's like a continuous narrative. Like, I don't like these roguelike games.
So, well, speaking of roguelike games, Tommy, you've been playing one of them, right?
Yeah, which one? I've been playing two of them.
Oh, shit. What's the...
Slime Sun.
Little slime boy.
Yeah. Well, I'll go into that first because that came out...
I didn't realize that's what that was. I thought that was more of like a farming... Wait, so what the fuck is slime? Is it the thing where you gather the little slime boys up and you put them in a fence?
No.
In a box? Okay.
That's what you do in your bedroom.
That might be Slime Rancher I'm thinking of.
So Slime Sun is a Steam game that's
You're thinking
now,
of Harvest Moon.
It's a Steam game that's now on the Switch. It is a pretty distinct visual style. It's like blue, white, green and red. So very like limited color palette. And
like the American flag in the American Idiot video. I believe that's what that was.
It's like the cover of the Toxic Avenger. It's interesting. Like it's kind of doing that dime a dozen retro 8-bit graphic kind of style.
Sure. Is it called Slime Sun?
S-A-N.
Yeah.
Like, Japanese. Because if you type in slime S-O-N, you don't get that.
You're still on the family tip. Slime Sun.
Slime Sun.
You think people's relatives are boring, and now you're just sitting here telling us stuff that comes up when you Google something that I didn't say.
You Googled Lemon Party before? It's pretty crazy what you get.
Do you want to join the pen club? I like it because it's, as much as we talk a lot about this retro kind of 8-bit graphics are a dime a dozen, it's sort of an interesting take on that, where Shovel Knight adheres to it very strictly, where it's kind of going... it's going to try and look as much like only something that could be displayed on the screen at the time.
Yep. Yep.
This is kind of using that aesthetic, but then the scale of what's on the screen is huge. So just like no way it could have been done on
It almost
on that
looks
kind
like
of
one of those old like 386 kind of old PC games, like a DOS game.
Oh, yeah.
So not that I've played this game, but I believe it's sort of similar to Super Meat Boy in terms of it's... each level is just a single screen and you're trying to make your way up to the top corner. Your little blob of slime, you can jump, you can slow down time and pass through walls that are the same color as you. and you can dash, which means you can like super jump, you can do it in midair, and yeah, and you can climb up walls and stuff. So you're basically trying to avoid anything red on the screen, which as you get further and further on, there's more like sores and enemies and, you know, like bits of spikes on walls that you can't go near.
Yeah, very strong anti-communist message. I like it.
And so you die a lot, to the extent that there is absolutely no fanfare when you die. Like you die and then it's like a half a second later you're just back.
That's Super Meat Boy for sure, which was great.
Yeah. So it really
even just the layout of the levels looks very Super Meat Boy-ish.
Yeah. So it really becomes a thing where you are like you get into a rhythm where you know, once you've done the level enough times, you kind of go, okay, you're down here and then you
Totally.
And sort of getting into that swing of it I find very addictive. Like I find that sort of that little balance and that it becomes like a little dance that you're doing. Like I kind of really like that aspect of it. Like as you get further and further on with it. It's reminding me a bit of like Goner, which is a game I was talking about like a month ago.
Yep.
But that's more shooting and this is more platformer. And yeah, it definitely, like you're saying, it's roguelike. So it is like you die again and again and again, but there are still kind of levels to get through and stuff. And you know, it's got all the cool little things in it like these things have now where you can unlock little costumes for your character or different looks for him and all that sort of stuff. They're bringing out DLC for it soon. One thing that's going to be in it is a first-person mode, which seems fucked and will be unplayable, but is just I like developers putting in something that it's like, imagine if this thing was in there.
Yeah.
It won't be good, but imagine. But yeah, I'm really enjoying.
You can tell
that
you like that philosophy if you've ever seen one of your comedy shows.
Very, very good.
Thanks, mate. I'm happy with it.
But yeah, it's $15, so it's kind of cheaper than it's still a lot of your standard indie fare that's on the Switch. And I'd reckon if you're looking for something like if you are looking for a good roguelike-y sort of platformer thing.
Sounds like the perfect thing to play on the bus.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, like a lot of this indie stuff. I mean, Cave Story is such a great thing for the Switch. Like, such a great portable experience. So another game, a game that we were talking about
What do you give it out of 5?
Slime Sun.
Yeah.
I've only played it today, but so far I would say it gets 3 big Adam Knox boogers out of 5.
All right. Are you listening, Metacritic? Update your rankings.
I'm going to start rating stuff. I'm going to give Tacoma a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
And Cave Story a 4.5 out of 5.
I don't want to start rating stuff, but I'm going to give our rating system 1 out of 5.
So
I'm
great.
I'm going to start doing rating systems where we kind of just quickly check in the week after because I definitely do change from the first couple of days of something to Con the Fruitera style. That's what it's going to be. There's the Con the Fruitera scale.
Yeah, so
and
you give
the
it
deluxe.
Okay, here's what it is. Here's our 2 rating scales that we give out on the show.
Okay.
When the game's just come out, it's the Con the Fruitera scale because you've only had it for a couple of days.
Yes. So you've got to give it like a number of melons or whatever out of 5.
Yes. And then the next week when we come back, it's the Bare Naked Ladies scale because you've had it for 1 week.
Yes.
And that's you rating it out of chickity China, the Chinese chickens.
So you've
5
got
Chinese chickens out of 5.
Did you watch the X-Files with the lights on?
Yes. Yes. No, so that's only 1 of 2. It's watching X-Files with the lights on or it's watching X-Files with the lights off.
If you say if you say chickity China, the Chinese chicken, that's 5. If you say chickity China, the Chinese, that's 4. And it sounds a bit racist.
That's brutal. Okay.
Chickity China, the chickity China, or just chickity is the worst you can get.
Chickity is the worst.
I like the X-Files one, so I think it should be 5 out of 5 for the first week.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, the Bare Naked Lady scale is, do I still agree with that review?
Yeah.
Lights on or lights off?
Right.
The X-Files with the lights on.
Yep.
So you say that's the code where you're like, we don't have time to go into it again, but let me just say, I'm watching X-Files with the lights on.
Yeah, great.
I'm still going to do Chickity China, the Chinese chicken, but only because I took the time to figure out that was 5 words.
The problem with that one is I only will want to ever rate anything the full 5s, 5 out of 5. I'm only ever going to want to say Chickity China, the Chinese chicken.
What are all of Con the Fruitera's daughters' names? Maybe that should be.
Oh, yeah. Tula, Fula.
Fula.
Does
he have five of them?
He has a gape, but it's pronounced agape.
Agape, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's whatever.
No, this is good. This is good like, journalism. If we want to go on to the next echelon of journalism,
the fact that you said just moments ago, hey, we a bunch of people in America I met who listen to this show, and now we're talking about Con the Fruiterer
and Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes.
That's almost a hit there.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is it. I'm emailing games companies all the time, trying to get us on their press list.
True.
And they think we're silly.
We have to actually review stuff.
They think the name Filthy Casuals is silly. If I'm now able to back it up with, here's our rating system. We do it over 2 weeks where they're different metric measurements and they're both based on pop culture references,
yeah.
One of which is specific to not only one place but one specific time frame from that place.
And then a small group of people who were there for that time as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can even, like, there's about 3 videos of them on YouTube.
Yeah, but they're all absolutely fantastic.
I give those Con the Fruiterer videos the X-Files lights on. See, it works.
No, I'm never going to remember what that means next week. There's not a chance.
Listeners, let us know if you like our rating scale.
Don't let us know because you won't.
And how you're going to let us know is you're going to say, initially, how many melons out of 5?
All right.
And then 1 week later, God, you're going to say, are you watching the X-Files with lights on or off?
Let's do a rating system where it's the fastest plane to the slowest plane. So F-16 is a good game.
Yep.
This is what you sound like.
I remember which video games magazine was it?
I couldn't think of a slow plane.
That had like all
the Spruce Moose.
All of the reviewers in this magazine, I can't remember which, it might have been a Nintendo one. They all had like kind of like cartoon caricatures of themselves, right. So like that would kind of
thinking
factor
of
in it.
Mad Magazine.
It was almost like that, where there would be like, you know, and it was it
Perfect
was pretty...
Dark got a What Me Worry.
Here's what the usual gang of idiots think of Conker's Good Fur Day. Oh, they've gotten it. They've absolutely spoofed Rareware a beauty.
Donkey Kong 69.
That's when we were writing for them.
Yeah. There was always like a – yeah, the score would be there and the comment would be there at the end, and then there'd be this dumb cartoon character of the reviewer. It's like, who cares – Who cares which one of the gang this is reviewing the game?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Imagine a piece of video game content mainly driven based on the personality of the content creators.
Yeah, with a caricature somewhere attached to the media.
What a blunder. Okay, so to follow up on something we were talking about last week, we were talking about the game The Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
And we were all saying it sort of didn't really appeal to us.
Mm-hmm.
This came off the back of me saying that it was out in the States where I was, you could get it physically, and so I was kind of tempted because it's pretty low risk, so I could on-sell it if I didn't like it. So we talked about how our friend, listener of the show, and tech guru Jeremy Webby Webb is a big fan of the game.
Mm.
And he leapt out of his little jimmy jammies, flung himself right over to the computer to send us an email, which I will now read. It opens with, "Fuck yeah, Webby is canon."
Yes.
Read Binding of Isaac as a game.
He joins the hallowed halls of the Con the Fruiterer review method and some fucking doorbell called Jimmy, who we mentioned once, but sometimes people still go, "Where's Jimmy?"
Jimmy the doorbell. We got to bring back Jimmy the doorbell.
What do you mean bring back? He was never here. He's never a thing.
Okay,
he's always slightly outside the door.
Okay, please, no more interruptions on this email, because let me remind you, Webby is canon.
It's weird that he wrote that.
Okay, so Binding of Isaac, as a game, I just find it so impressive as much as I find it fun. The procedurally generated floors have rules they need to follow, but I can never really guess anything that's going on with the maps, and I genuinely get that feeling sometimes with room spawns that someone is watching me and fucking with me on purpose, which is what I want with this kind of dungeon crawler roguelike game. And I love that they have over 500 odd items in the game that all need to be coded to interact with each other in terms of what they do to your character model, how they affect your character's attributes. It allows you to have these ridiculous combinations, but none of them break the game, and then you have to go again. I'm just so impressed by how simple the game can appear, while at the same time knowing the complexities to the code going in the back end to allow this much content to work together. I would recommend it to people. I think it is one of the best made indie games of all time, and every expansion of upgrade they have done to it has improved upon it. So if people haven't played it, the full version on the Switch is going to be the best version to get." Okay, so I bought this game the day before I left the States. It's a piece of shit. I hated this game. I hated it
reading
so much.
That email in full meant that you were going to completely agree with every point.
There was a lot of signposting going on there, but I feel like worth it. Yeah.
An email's just come in saying, "Dear Filthy Casuals, I'm definitely not going to trip over later. There's no way that I'm going to fall in a comical fashion." Oh, no.
An email has come in saying, fuck this.
An apple fell on me.
An email has come in saying, fuck this. I don't want to be canon anymore. I want you to shoot yourself out of a cannon for liking this game, Webby. I played it for a bit on the plane and I really wanted to, yeah, make an effort to enjoy it, but I just can't get past the fact, like I thought would be the case, stylistically, I just hate everything about it.
Yeah.
I just find it so unappealing and off-putting. The whole thing of you being in a dungeon and there's like drips of blood everywhere and it's like your character, the way you attack is through tears. Like you shoot your tears at enemies and there's like big piles of shit that come to life. And it just – and the whole story is like – of the game is you're a little kid. You live with your mum. Your mum watches too much, Christian evangelist stuff on the TV. She becomes convinced that you've been taken over by evil, so she strips you of everything, and then she tries to kill you. You see this in like a little cartoon at the start. She comes up you with a knife, tries to kill you, and so you are hiding in the basement from her. And as it turns out, there's even more worse evil stuff in the basement. And I just like, it might sound weird because like I'm not a prude by any stretch in terms of the kind of things that I like.
I've seen your search history.
I just find it really off-putting.
You keep typing in slime, son. Looking for that. No, I know.
Typing in slime party. I just find it so off-putting. And there's like bits when you die where it'll show you a little thing of, you know, you're this little, kind of little featureless little kind of child.
Yeah.
And it'll show you huddled in the dungeon in the cold and you're crying and you're remembering all these things of like the really nasty things that
so they've got a webcam in my bedroom.
We'll be right back after these messages. I just find it, I just don't like it. I know that's kind of meant to be the point, but it just seems like it's trying to kind of be deliberately juxtapose this kind of awful, horrific kind of imagery, but then in this kind of cute cartoony style.
It seems a little juvenile.
It just doesn't work for me. It just really doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
The palette, everything about it. And I did, and I don't consider the gameplay mechanics to be enough to hook me in because it was, you know, as opposed to I'm saying I like Slime Sun because you die again and again and again, but then you're right back in there.
I think you'd like Super Meat Boy, which is by the same guys and is the same sort of thing, which is the strange thing.
But this is like it dying in this just kind of pissed me off because it just I went through a few goes and, you know, would die and just went, I don't feel any desire to go back and keep trying. Like, I just don't care.
Yep.
Like, I'm not finding the rooms fun enough, and maybe it's just like I need to, you know, if I spend a bit more time with it, that, you know, there's always that moment where it clicks and you go, oh, okay, that's what this is.
Yeah.
But I just can't get past the music. Just everything about it is just so a 180 on the kind of stuff that I enjoy aesthetically that I couldn't push through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, it's a, like, I don't know if I ever talked about it on this. I played a little bit of that game Drawn to Death,
which was
free on the PlayStation Plus thing.
Yeah.
And I hated it for real similar reasons.
Yeah, right.
Where the art style was, it's all like it's it's like a high schooler's sketchbook.
Yeah,
and he's drawing these little characters fighting each other, and it's come to life, and you're in it. But the humor in it, especially, is so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Where it's this shit of like ripped off their head and shit down their neck,
yeah,
baby.
Oh, God. That's so
like
unfortunate.
Sub Duke Nukem, fucking, and it's. It's almost as though it's trying to be a parody of that.
Yeah.
But it isn't.
But it isn't, yeah.
Which is really weird.
It's really interesting because, like just how much – because there's definitely been things in games where you know, I don't love everything about it stylistically. Like, I, you know, where I kind of go, I just wish some of those character designs were a little better. But hey, who cares? I can still get through this. Mm. This sounds dumb, but I remember when we first played the demo of Breath of the Wild, I was like, I hate the font in this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The
yeah.
font really annoyed me. There's, and I was like, I honestly at the time was like, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to get over this.
There's a lot of games with bad fonts for some reason.
Yes, absolutely.
It just looked like a weird kind of, it just seemed too much like a thing you'd see in a word processor. It's like,
yeah,
just in this world felt off. But for the thing of not being able to enjoy because of Binding of Isaac because of the style,
yeah,
you know, conversely, something like, you know, really loving a style can really get me, can give me a lot of mileage with a game.
Absolutely.
Like, I've talked about it a lot with ARMS, which is by no means perfect, and I'm way more prepared to be forgiving of it because I just love how it looks that I'm more than happy to forgive all of its shortcomings, of which there are many.
Yeah, my one for this is No Man's Sky.
Right.
Like, it didn't have a lot going on when it came out. It was pretty simple, pretty repetitive. But my God, like, I just loved that color palette.
The music, especially.
Yeah. If the music in a game is something that I like, that goes so far towards getting me into the mood of the atmosphere of just,
I agree with that.
But No Man's Sky is a big one where I don't know why, but for me it clicked, everything about it. I just wanted to be in there.
But it's interesting what the difference is, like the midway point. Because to be honest, I love Splatoon, not that I've been able to play heaps of it for not having much internet connection for the last couple of weeks.
Mm.
As much as I love the mechanics, the style of it, I'm kind of 80% on. The character designs, I'm a little – it's one of those things where it's like, this isn't quite – what I love, like, and I can't even put it into.
Was Splatoon this, did you say?
Right. But you know, once I'm playing it, it's that good that I just go, oh, like, you know, whatever. I still love everything about this.
And then that
gets me over the line and makes me like the style more. But I remember seeing the initial screenshots of it when it was very, very first announced and going, yuck. And the fact that it was called Splatoon as well, but all the rest of it just won me over so much.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing of, I think, where your personal line is between gameplay having to do all the work and then just something totally pulling you in with its aesthetic and its vibe.
The way Persona 5 presents itself really pushed me to stick with that game for longer than I might have.
Well, by all accounts, that's, and I still am yet to go in, and now that I've got a bit more time, I reckon I will.
Yeah.
But it,
you need a fuck lot more time. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
I knew I was going away a bit, and I was like, I don't want to get into it when I know I'm going to have to then leave it for 2 weeks and then come back and not remember what's going on. But by all accounts, the beginning of that is kind of quite boring.
There's,
and
like,
without the style to accompany it, would be like, why the fuck am I doing this?
100%. It's
the most hacky of intros, really. It's like a flashback, like,
and it's very
in media res thing where you don't,
and it's very slow to give you all of the different things you have to do that you eventually end up having. It really fucking holds your hand for a good fucking 6 or 7 or more hours.
Totally.
All of the way it's presented is so great looking and dynamic, and the music is fucking great.
The music, it's
the
one of those.
The voice acting is great.
Yeah, well, I mostly have the Japanese voice acting on now, but it's one of those Japanese things where it's like,
sorry,
it's the combination.
It was just such a weirdo statement. I was like, there's too many different calls to make here. Well, you know, I just actually have the Japanese voice on, but dismissive.
I have it in Dutch, but whatever.
It's pronounced Persona 5. But like,
that's the best thing you've ever said.
It has a that kind of Japanese thing of mixing like jazz and like a high school drama. Like, it's a weird combination of aesthetics is just so engaging.
I guess you could say too,
the
like
last person to me. Oh, never mind. That was going to be
come on.
The last person to miss jazz in high school was and then I was going to try and think of the name of like one of them 70s.
Oh, is this a what was the first Doctor Who doctor situation?
No, look, it's not important.
Jazz
is about the jokes you don't make.
There's something about like
Timothy Clark.
Yeah. Pokemon Go, I think, was a good example of like that. That's not a game. It's not anything. Yeah. Even the Geo stuff in it barely worked. For me, the map was always like playing catch up. Yep. It did not work seamlessly, but people loved it because it
the designs has, of the Pokemon look good.
Our rival podcast, Hey Fam, over in their group chat that
those
I'm still a part
bastards.
Of, I'd pay them $4 a month just to be able to defend myself in there when they talk shit about me. There's a few people in there still playing Magikarp Jump, which is one of the shittest, I don't even want to say played, because it's barely a game, but it just has a cute little presentation. There's a, you know, the fact that it's all centered around the most dumb fuck Pokemon that exists, like that, you know, if that connects with you. But, it, you know, a lot of apps like that are like that, where they have nothing going on.
Yeah.
But it's just all about the, you know, it's all about the flair and it's all about the...
And then there's the other side of it where, like, I've been playing a lot of Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, which, again, is just not a good name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But neither's Adam. You know, that's a dull name.
I think Adam's a good name.
It's the first name.
It was the first name. Yeah. After God. God was the first name. What should I call myself? God. That'll do.
It's Dog Backwards.
Yeah. Dog, that's a good idea for now.
Dog was the first name.
Well, no, surely. Well, if God's the first, then Dog's the second
name. I guess so, yeah.
Because it sort of is, it's already there.
Well, it depends how he did it. If he had Dog and then he worked backwards.
Ah, doggy style.
Jesus.
But Jesus was like the 50th name.
That's why I mentioned it.
He'd done a bunch of other people before that. 50. A huge number. But so what the fuck was that? Oh, yeah, that game doesn't look especially good. It's kind of bland looking, if anything.
Yeah.
It's quite just mute and very like bare
bones.
It looks
like all those ones that like, what are they, like Rust and
it does
a bit. You could just show
Daisy
me that and say that it was the same game.
Well, because it's got the same sort of lineage of them.
Right.
And
But
the gameplay in it is so good.
Fuck, who was that guy
that
I was obsessed with? Do you remember that guy that I was really into for a while? The guy who was doing... Who would
Which
fuck
one?
With, the guy who would fuck with people on those
Oh,
games.
Mike Whitney.
The guy would fuck with people on those games and record himself. You know what I mean?
Dan from Second Life or something.
Yes,
yeah.
I wonder if he's getting into Player Unknown's Battle. It sounds like the sort of thing he'd be in on. Do
there's
you voice chat?
There's a lot of fucking people
he
doing
must
streaming
be doing stuff
with that.
That. He must be punking people on that.
It is the most popular streaming game at the moment, I think, because it is fun to watch as well. Because it's really good at creating these tense and weird and interesting situations.
Yep.
And I've never had a multiplayer thing be as satisfying as this game is, where you really feel like you earn every victory, and every time you fuck up, you're like, I know exactly what I did wrong then. Fuck me, I'm going to try again.
Right.
It's really, really good, and everyone should give it a go. It definitely won't be everybody's cup of milk, but will...
I just looked up Daniel from Second Life. Doesn't look like he's discovered PlayerUnknown's.
Send him a message.
Yeah, right.
He's been doing a bit of Gmod. Do you know what that is?
Gary's Mod.
Oh, Gary's Mod, yeah.
It's it was a thing for Half-Life 2.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's still stuck on that. Sounds like this, this PlayerUnknown's Battleground. God damn it. I can't believe I have to say that fucking name.
Well, you could call it PUBG.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That's better. Just sounds like a lame dude from a shit job going like, you want to go to the PUBG, man? No, I don't, David.
It's Ali G's brother.
David's like the 413th name. So,
no, that was like the third or fifth or something. Assassin's Creed also has terrible interfaces. That was the thing with Assassin's Creed where it's like, yeah, I just want to be in medieval times being an assassin. And even the interface was like, oh, this is like shitty late 90s computer hacker stuff.
Which was like the other half of the aesthetic of that game, to be fair. But
yeah, well, I guess that's another thing. Like that aesthetic was something I had to work past to enjoy the other aesthetic.
Which seems to be the predominant thing way that people felt about those games, because they slowly drifted away from like doing any of that, really. Yeah, like in the olden days of like 2003.
Ah, yes.
games as a rule had really shitty interfaces.
Yeah.
Partly because they had to be so big to work on CRT TVs because you didn't have the same resolution as you did. But like there was a lot of real fucking Comic Sans-y shit going on.
Yeah.
And stuff back in those days.
Love a good interface.
Oof.
Like just, I know you, it's one of the few things I think you loved about the game was arms. Just you'd turn on, just selecting something from a menu, you get that whoosh, you're like, yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah, Nintendo's user interface designers are fucking great. Like all of the games that have come out on Switch.
Yeah.
Maron.
I like a little like a little futuristic interface where when you click something it goes doink. Like those little noises.
Yes.
Oh man.
So Binding of Isaac.
Bear?
Bear? It's not out here yet, either physically or digitally.
Yeah.
I've got a copy. Make me an offer because I do not want it. It's got the manual, it's got stickers.
Ooh. It's out on the PC and stuff as well.
Right,
maybe
but
just,
on Switch.
Just Steam.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start this new segment where if I've bought a game for the sake of this and I don't like it, hey, someone will want it.
Yeah.
So also in this category is Mafia 3.
Oh, yeah.
Make me an offer, bro.
Yeah.
One they can't refuse. For Mafia, you wouldn't be able to refuse the offer
for
Mafia.
Yeah, you didn't stumble over the word
like
refuse,
that,
though.
Yeah, mate, because I got excited. I was ready to go.
This is the perfect joke.
Why did you go back to the jerk store?
Ukulele, Mafia 3, and Binding of Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
Make me an offer.
Yeah.
Save me some eBay fees.
I will give you, what can I give you? I'll give you Firewatch. I'll give you, but that's digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they have to be physical games, you clown.
I still have an unopened copy of Mass Effect Andromeda.
You
can probably have that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get around to that one day.
Yeah, me too. But apparently the multiplayer is really, really good.
Yeah.
I really reckon we should start doing this. Games that we don't want.
Yeah.
Let's sell them on the show and we'll throw something in.
Yeah.
We'll write you a little note. I'll do your drawing or we'll do whatever.
Yeah. I'll put on some lipstick and kiss the card.
Yeah. I bought a box of Sultana brand and that wasn't as good as I remember.
I'll tuck my dick in between my legs and then I'll take a photo of me dressed up like a woman, when Bugs Bunny used to do it.
Yeah. Or Buffalo
Bill. Did he have
Bill?
His dick tucked in between his legs?
He permanently did. If you look at the cartoon, you can't see any dick.
You know what this means.
And where's my cock?
Stick that dick in between my legs. Otherwise, Elma's not going to buy it. By the way, my voice has changed slightly. Oh, how did Bugs Bunny sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's right. I'm a real wise guy.
That's the nanny. What's up, Mr. Sheffield? I was sitting next to someone on the plane. I tell you what, I was embarrassed to be seen playing it.
Yeah.
I'm throwing tears at a fucking pile of shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, pressing the call attendant, the flight attendant.
Yeah.
Tommy,
before you go on,
mm-hmm.
obviously there's something you need to do at the end of this discussion. You need to rate this game.
Oh. See how annoying this is going to be?
Okay. Now, when you say annoying, is this like are you using it like in a different way?
Nah, man, it's not slang. It means real fucking annoying, baby.
Okay, so on the fruiterer scale, it gets one melon.
Okay, well,
I believe that equates to Tula. it comes in at a Tula on the fruiterer scale.
So what? Just for our stats freaks who are definitely making a spreadsheet based on this.
Is there a spreadsheet program on this earth that can handle this kind of volume of data that is going to need to be present?
This is based on video games, Con the Fruiterer, and stats. Let's get Peter Jones on the phone.
This is going to need to be like a Minority Report thing where it's like a three-dimensional screen that you can kind of spin around and the cells kind of go all the way through.
Yeah, or, it sounds like a lot of work. Let's not do it.
Or it's 1 out of 5.
But yeah, what was your original question?
I don't remember.
Did OJ do it? I think yes.
What would Kylie Mole have to say about this game?
See, he likes it. Deep down, he likes it.
See, now I don't like it. So 1 out of 5. We'll revisit it later.
It's a 1 for me.
When you don't play it again.
We'll come back next week and we'll be able to hear that. But will the lights be on or off? Who's to say?
Great.
We'll find out next week.
I want to believe we'll continue with this rating system.
Knox, genuinely hates this. Genuinely. Like, for the listener at home, I want it clear, this isn't a bit.
Yeah, he's got his arms crossed and he's grimacing. He's not smiling. He's not pretend angry. He's grimacing in the, like, I want this to be over sense.
Oh, God.
I really was, wasn't I?
Yes.
Well, congratulations, mate. You've just signed your death warrant because you not liking it this much means that it's happening everywhere.
I think it's
welcome
more than
to the rest of your life.
I think I hate us just giving the games ratings more than the system.
Yeah, I know. I that's the thing. I'm like, I don't understand this, but let's make it worse.
Yeah. So what I did do on the plane was I finished The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild because I've talked on this a bit that I've just been a bit anxious to finish it because I didn't want to come to the end. But I sort of went, you know what, I'm going to do it. This has been a fun trip. This has been a nice way to cap it off.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had heard that it was quite an easy task, especially if you've done all four of the Divine Beasts.
Yep.
And the people who said that were not Whistle and Dixie. Because...
Even for you, a renowned shit games player.
A renowned shit cunt, yes. Because that was the other thing. I thought, it'll take a few goes. This will eat up some time of this long flight.
Yeah.
We'd barely taken off. The Divine Beasts
barely taken off because they kept saying over the thing, hey, someone's using electronics. Yeah. Can you please turn it off? It's been 7 hours.
And I'm on the phone as well. Yeah. Mom, it's so easy. You're not going to believe it.
Mom.
I finished it. I didn't feel like the ease of it impacted my enjoyment of it.
Right.
How did you find it? Because I still thought everything that was going on, I was like, this is just cool. I like how it all looks.
I really liked
the second part of it. I thought was an interesting surprise. Not for anyone who's heard me say this now, but
I guess this is kind of spoiler territory. But we'll just talk about this.
Yeah.
But also,
do you care, Ben?
No.
And the story in Zelda, who gives a shit?
Oh, if it's story based, then absolutely no.
If you want to skim over this next bit though, then skip forward a couple of days. Are you happy?
No, that's way too far.
I'm joining.
Just do 30 seconds, you fucking idiot.
Wait, you think we're gonna? So they've fast forwarded a couple of days, which means that we do this for a couple of days, and then some.
Yeah.
I need to go to bed at some point.
The bit where you climbing up like through Hyrule Castle is good.
That was cool. Yeah.
I've actually started doing that.
Yeah. Cool, and cool to sort of for be in an area of the game that is like you're in a big house. Like it's
you're
not
in a
like
big house
that have seen in the game before.
Yeah. They should have called that game House Story, but they starring Hugh Laurie. But they you climb up and that bit's good. And then the actual fight against Ganon, I kind of didn't like the representation of Ganon in this game.
Oh, really?
Right. As much as some of the other. I liked it when he's a scheming wizard.
A dude, right. Yeah.
The big and he's just this sort of like manifestation of evil, like this pig boy.
I guess that's just them at this point just trying to, they're shaking up everything else.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. There's plenty of room to come back to him.
Totally.
Being that in the future.
If they're going to do it, I would like to see him in like the Wind Waker was good where. Yep. It almost seemed like he was this political schemer on level two,
right.
Which I like that, but you would want to tie a whole thing around that.
But I will say the way he's represented in all the Divine Beasts, it would be weird if you'd gotten to the end and then he's just like,
hello, my name's Frank Ganon.
Yeah.
I mainly got here through wheeling and dealing.
I like that he's this kind of like ephemeral. Like, it's not even like a him or it's just this
it's
kind of.
This big fucking
it's this presence.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought that was kind of.
Yeah, like
a cool
the smoke monster from
Lost.
The problem is, I suppose, with that thing that it's cool to have this big presence, but then at some point, you've got to make him look like a spider.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? So it's when they get reduced to their physical form.
Yeah.
But then they don't have the benefit of being this spooky real thing. Or being this untouchable, weird, conceptual thing.
Yeah.
They kind of sit in the middle, you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, totally. You're right. I did think all the rest have taken on these clear forms, well, what's this going to be? And it's like, oh, it's a spider.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's a pig.
Yeah.
So, but the music is really good and it's like this, it does a good job
music's
of like...
Great. And at this point in the game, hearing new music when you're so used to
right.
the, oh, this is what happens when you do this and this.
So
that
you know what
really cool.
happened to me? The bit where you...
Oh, God, I shudder to think.
you ride your horse and shoot him up for a bit. This is
well,
like
just
the second
very quickly, let me say that you... I just thought, I knew this was coming, but I still thought the way it all panned out was cool. And part of the reason I did it on a plane was I find, be it with movies or whatever it is, I like stuff way more if I experience it on a plane.
Sure.
And I've heard that's a common thing with a lot of people.
Right.
I'm way more forgiving on movies and stuff if you happen to watch them on a plane.
Because you have no alternative of any activity.
Actually, I was going to say I have the opposite, but I don't because I watched the whole series of S Club 7 in Miami twice. And it was only a 3-hour flight. I watched it after I got off as well as the idea there.
Oh, it wasn't a 1.5-hour series.
No.
I did this twice on this trip. I would start a movie on a flight, not calculating how much was left of the flight.
Yeah.
So now I have to go back and watch the final quarter of Guardians of the Galaxy and Logan.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Which I will do because I enjoyed the bits that I saw of both.
Yeah,
sure. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, End of Zelda.
Just quickly, the way this fight starts, you know, you drop into the room and the fight begins. And then, yeah, you know this is coming, but just the little bit where all of the divine beasts get activated, I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
You see this little glimpse of all the champions again and the way that they, you know, Daruk's like, give him hell, little guy, and the what's her name, Urbosa, she's all sassy and the,
dumbass water one does some stupid water trick or something. God, I hate the water people.
He's trapped in a tank at fucking SeaWorld trying to get out.
He's
crying
going
out
crazy.
Just that's great. You can only ever activate three of the divine beasts because that fucking Zora cunt is just swimming around in circles.
He's got blackfish.
Our dorsal fins don't actually do this.
But yeah, I mean, you knew it was coming. And
totally.
It's very simple. I just thought it was cool.
And then it's that thing of like, oh, sick, they're all here to help. And then his health bar just goes pew.
Yeah,
down
and the fact that it worked and did something.
It does do something, but it's like kind of a lame thing. But it,
I guess
it
if you only get one divine beast and then attack him, then that affects
you. You can go straight there if you want.
But you basically they take off all combined, they take off half.
Yeah, which
is
right.
Like, yeah, you go and it's like, oh fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've made a real dent.
Yep.
Yeah. You fight him, it's pretty straightforward. Then you go into a field and you're riding your horse and you're shooting like glowing spots on him as a big pig.
Yeah.
And then there's this very last little section where there's fire on the ground and Zelda goes, shoot him in this spot. And you'll fucking get him, I promise this time. And you're like, sick, I've got it, Zelda, don't worry.
But aren't you Zelda?
No, mate, you have got it absolutely backwards. Zelda is the doctor. The monster is named
Link.
Link. So that bit, for some reason, it just the little eye or whatever that opens up wasn't doing it. So
right.
I was stuck in that bit for like 20 minutes.
Oh, well,
fuck.
Okay, I
it
got
just
stuck
going,
in a very...
Doo, 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 doo.
I got stuck in a very
the music is
dumb
looping
well.
In an 8-second loop. It was
so
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so you blow him up in the castle and then you're in a field where he's like a big pig and you're given a horse and
you can be a big pig too.
And yeah, Zelda gives you a thing called the Bow of Light,
yeah.
Which she says, this is the way to take him out. I'll show you the spots to hit him on these glowing things come up and you're meant to shoot the Bow of Light in there. Now, I had assumed that because it's this big thing of here it is, and you then get it then says that you've got it. I just assumed that it was automatically equipped.
Oh.
So I'm riding around like a dumb fuck,
with
just
like
shooting
a
these
bow
normal arrows at him with like some piece of shit wood bow that I got from a forest, just doing nothing, going, am I this bad at aiming? Like, is it? And then something clicked, and I went. And then equipped the bow properly and did it immediately. But that was a good 15 minutes of me just fucking doing some sweet circle work of the old piggy.
And then it ends and it's like, okay, time to rebuild. And then it actually ends. And I'm glad that the DLC is meant to be set after that.
Mm. Oh, is it?
Of you going and rebuilding, apparently. I think they confirmed that it was set after the
end. Well, it's kind of that weird thing of a game. You know, some games will let you finish and you start from the start, or you can go back into the world again and it's new now. But this, when you just go back into your file.
You go into your last save before the boss.
Yeah, totally. So it registers that you've finished it.
You
but
get a little
it,
star
you just go
next
straight
to you.
Back.
Yeah.
I thought the ending... And again, this is probably just from being more forgiving for the fact of being on a plane. You know, the fact that it's all back to normal and the last thing that happens is Zelda turns to you and goes, wait, do you really not remember me? And that's the end. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no, that was nice.
When the whole thing is about this guy being asleep for 100 years and collecting his memories.
Yeah.
It's not some fun, but I just thought that was, and again, maybe it's just, but it kind of, that happened. I was like, yeah. Fuck yeah. Like, I just thought that was, I thought that was nice.
It was nice. I just wanted to, like, I just liked that world so much.
Yeah.
That I wanted to go and see all those people again, being like, oh, thank fuck, it's over.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, right, I didn't know that about the DLC. So
yeah.
That's
so apparently that's the idea. So
but how does that tie into it all being about the champions?
It sounds like you're going to go back to each of the places, each of the main cities. And be, my guess, this is just my guess, is go back there and then they'd be, hey, thank you so much. Here's another story about them, by the way, that you might like to reminisce about.
Man, I can't wait for that. Like, I think that's that's such a – I can't wait to see what that is and how much there is in it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this a lot more for the last couple of minutes, I have to say.
There's been some kind of change in my mood. I don't know what it is, but I've started to feel a lot more relaxed. Oh, I feel weird again. I don't know what it is, but I feel really fucking –
I just feel like I'm – trying to pass a gallstone or something.
Ow!
It's the most intense pain I've ever been in.
Ow! Oh, hey, Ben.
Where'd you go?
Nowhere. I was sitting here listening to you talk about fucking Zelda for half an hour, it felt like.
It felt like half an hour to us as well. Anyway, it does raise something that I was thinking about was because I've heard that as a criticism from some people that
too easy, not satisfying.
Too easy. I didn't care at all as long as what's happening is cool and interesting and you know it's such a cliche thing, but it is to me. It's about the journey. I don't I don't want the end of a game to be fucking brutal to the point of like it being so frustrating and not fun. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like a game should be, for me personally, the end. Well, you know, the last bit is the hardest bit. Like, I kind of almost like being, you know, sidelined by something where you finish a game and you go, kind of the hardest bit was halfway through. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's not necessarily about difficulty. I do like it when a game will go like, okay, you've learned all this stuff, prove it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So,
totally.
And I think the Zelda thing is that it's just you're so equipped to deal with it if you've done everything properly.
Perhaps you could say that maybe the boss, maybe the last fight could have done with a bit more of – because in all the Divine Beast fights, you're using the different Cryonisus things and all the different things and you don't –
you just
that could have been a bit could have been a bit cool if
even doing the Divine Beasts, the puzzles, that kind of stuff is like
there
good
could have
and
been
interesting
a bit more it's... in like yeah here now take now there's going to be a section of this boss fight where you use all of the what are they called, your little power things, your
stasis runes. Yeah.
You know, if there was a section where you use each and every one of them, there's a paragliding bit, there's a bow and arrow bit, but
totally.
Also there's so much of that the rest of the game that
exactly.
maybe it doesn't matter.
It's kind of a criticism of that game as a whole is that the combat gets a lot easier as you go on.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's just kind of a symptom of that. And yeah, I didn't have a huge problem with it.
Yeah,
but they're like the best endings of stuff that I tend to remember are always more to do with the story wrapping up in a good way,
totally,
than anything with the actual game itself.
Yeah, yeah. Like obviously, like my favorite game, Final Fantasy VII.
He hasn't brought this up before. I didn't know that was your favorite game.
Really? Okay. I feel like
you've said it about a million times.
The end of that is fucking really difficult. Like, if you
there's like three bosses in a row and they're all fucking hard, right?
Yeah. Yes. And like the easiest way to get through those, which is still hard, is to do the chocobo breeding, which takes fucking so long.
Yeah.
Like that is so tedious
like
and time
pandas.
Intensive.
They don't want to fuck.
Yeah, and like you have to race them until they're fast enough and one have won enough races.
Right.
And eventually you get a gold chocobo. Eventually you use that to go to the corner of the map to get the Knights of the Round summon materia. That you still need to like it's
I've
so
never done any of this.
It's so hard and time consuming.
When I was playing Ratchet and Clank last year, Levin's saying to me, "Oh, make sure you get the Rhino cards. They're a little scattered throughout the thing."
Right.
Throughout the game. I think you get five of them, and then when you've got them, you can get this special gun that is just fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And it makes the boss at the end a piece of piss. And
right.
I went, I'm absolutely doing that. And, yeah, through having the gun just wiped out the boss very easily,
yeah,
and just didn't think a second thing about it. Didn't feel like I was shortchanging the experience,
right,
or cheating. I was just like, no, I put a little bit more work in, and I don't want to spend, because it's the worst thing when you feel like the final bit of a game is just so excruciatingly difficult that you can't do it.
Yeah.
That you kind of go, fuck, you know what? I want to finish this game and move on, but I don't think I'm ever going to be able to, and it's such a shame to get to not quite seeing the credits.
Yeah.
I remember having that a lot on games as a kid, and it's just so frustrating. It's I just want to be able to say that I've done it. I've done all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've earned it.
With Final Fantasy VII, like, it's really hard. That ending is really, really hard. It's easier if you put in an extra 30 hours to the game.
Right.
It's still hard. But then the thing that you remember, I barely remember those boss battles, but I remember the end of the story.
Yeah.
I remember that fantastic epilogue where it's like the music is fantastic. It's very peaceful and you're like, yeah, that was worth it.
And that's the thing. Any game that has a definitive ending is going to tend to have a story.
Yep.
And the ones that I remember have that, like, The Last of Us has a really good ending.
Yes.
And that's all based on, like, the final dialogue scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the last couple.
Yeah.
Weirdly, like, Dark Souls doesn't have... It's got a real nebulous story, but I liked the ending of the first one of that where every boss you do throughout that game is bigger and bigger and more bombastic, and it's a fucking scorpion on fire and all this shit.
Yeah.
Then the last one is just a dude, and there's piano music behind it, and it's quite hard, but it's not the hardest thing you've done. But it, like, thematically is this change of pace,
right,
that works really well.
Yeah, the ending
of the Goonies.
The last two, the Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, the 3D. Ending in the Matrix where fucking Neo flies off.
Oh, Inception, what's going to happen with the spinning top,
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, man.
Super Mario 3D World and
3D...
the end of this podcast.
The two final Bowser things in that, those games were not trying to challenge you too much. They did the bits where they got a little tricky, but the final bosses where, again, you can knock them off in one go, but they're kind of cool spectacles because you basically kill Bowser about five times in a row and he keeps coming back, and he's like, now he's a giant cat and now he's like a skeleton, and at one point you're kind of looping around the top of a tower, and it's not about feeling like, and you do still feel like, oh fuck, I could, you know, I better be careful here.
Yeah.
But the fact that it just ramps up and just becomes more visually impressive and
more of a climax. Yeah.
And by the end, you go, thematically, wow, that was a great ending. Like that was like a great final boss fight, because visually it's more about the game kind of throwing everything it's got at you.
Giving you a nice little treat at the end.
What's the end of Uncharted 2? You're trying to kill a fucking Yeti or something that?
Well, the ending, just quickly, of Super Mario 3D World, after you do get like all of the shit, and the very last level is really fucking hard.
Oh, that bonus thing that opens up is fucked.
Like, the very last thing, I didn't end up doing it. I did everything else in that game.
But yeah, the ending of Uncharted 2, the final boss... It's like
all their endings are a bit fun.
I was going to bring up the whole series. Yeah, like,
is this the first one where they didn't have some kind of full-on supernatural bullshit in
four,
it?
What was the ending of four?
Four's you're in that pirate ship.
Oh, and that dumb
sword fight. A mechanic that's not in the rest of the game.
That's the worst shit.
I hated
that. When they do something at the end where it's like, okay, now here's this fucking half-thought-out
thing. I hated that so much. Yeah. And I found it so finicky. And
I don't know that I fully finished Uncharted 3 ever, because it was like, oh, there's fucking ninjas now and they can phase around.
Well, 3 was like, if I remember it right, at some point it was like all that shit was a hallucination.
Yeah, right.
Because of some drug that you were taking.
Yep.
Probably a real cool guy if he's doing that.
The first one
was zombie Nazis.
Yep. The second one was
those blue guys.
Yeah, El Dorado.
Yeah, you're right. Guys. Like Yetis. Oh, there was a Yeti earlier.
Is it fucking Yeti? Yeah, it's some, and you're in a cave. You're in a cave with him, and he's just... Now, this is the real cave story.
That was like halfway through the game, though, that Yeti. And then later on, you get those blue guys.
Yeah, Shangri-La. Yeah. You're in Shangri-La. Yeah. And they're... Yes. That was...
What is it? You're just running around in a cave trying to shoot a thing.
There's some blue...
It's just
at the end, you're running through a collapsing ancient city, and there's blue guys there.
The ending of Mass Effect 2 was fucking stupid.
I liked it.
Oh, man. I thought that was so dumb. Where it was just because you're fighting these Reapers and they're like, and they've made one, but it's a dude.
Yeah, he looks like a big skeleton man.
That was, I found that really silly.
But the whole ending of Mass Effect 2 where you have to make certain choices.
Yes, that shit was great. Just that very last boss battle was stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and like, I pref- the ending of Mass Effect 3 was fine.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Complained about that at the time.
But. Yeah.
Well, this kind of feeds into an email that we got from Oliver, who says, I, for one, am a huge fan of fighting games and survival horror, with Resident Evil being my favorite. So getting those critical headbursting shots in Resident Evil or winning a match with a pixel of health left in Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter are up there for me. Question, what are some of the most satisfying moments in video games for you?
When you come. Next question.
God.
A bit brazen to think that we're going to do more stuff after you whip out a doozy like that. That's an episode ender if ever I've heard one.
Battlegrounds, like I was saying before, is super fucking satisfying.
Yeah.
When you do well in that. And yeah.
Like with games like Need for Speed, those moments that will never happen again where, you know, a car is like, you know, rolling across the track and you've...
That'll never happen again in a racing game.
Well, like, you know, that thing where, like, you hit the perfect, you know, boost.
Yeah, yeah.
You cut through two cars, you hit the front, you win the race. Like, those kind of moments.
Totally.
Are the, yeah.
And that's the that's what Battlegrounds is. Every time you play it, it's those little fucking stories.
My big one at the moment with Splatoon, when you get to the end of the match and it shows you... The first thing it does is it shows you the top-down view of the map and how much ink there is. And then it kind of... It
fills them up a little bit.
It teases you out for a little bit before it lets you know who's won. But there's some where it's just obvious. And if it's you and it comes up, that moment of looking at it and going, you fucking little ripper. Like, you don't even need to add it up. You just know.
Sometimes they do the thing because they each fill to like 20%
or 48 something. 48. Yeah, 40 something,
Sometimes it'll blow their number back down.
Yeah.
From the minimum.
Yeah.
Which is
that,
cool.
That little moment where you're waiting but you know it's you.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling.
I used to really love the thing of when a Pokemon would evolve.
Oh, yeah.
That little noise it would make, like a dibber-dibber.
Yep.
Little... My mouth filled up with saliva. I think because I was remembering that
cue,
that feeling, and I got like, oh yes, started foaming at the mouth. But it made that little noise. And
I think this kind of ties into that. It's kind of a similar feeling,
gross.
But the thing in video games, no matter what the game is, if I'm enjoying it, the thing that gets me the most rock hard in gaming is just unlocking something new.
Yeah.
Just that, like in Mario Kart, when you collect the coins in the Grand Prix and get into the end of one and going, hey, you unlocked a new piece of a cart or unlocking a new character.
See, I
fucking love getting that notification of like, hey, man, go back in there. There's some new shit waiting for you.
I don't tend to feel that way. I don't care about achievements or trophies. Honestly, for me, it's like it's dumb things like when you're in Skyrim and you like you can't get up that mountain.
Yeah.
You keep going diagonal and diagonal and like back and forth and back and forth until finally you get to the top and you look over the other side and you're like, finally, I got to the top of the mountain. Those are the things that are like satisfying to me.
I'm not
saying
I care about achievements and trophies. I'm saying like
I feel like
something
you are.
That you, actually, something that you – like even in just little things in Cave Story, when you get up to a bit where it's like someone gives you a new gun, something that is now going to change the experience of the game for you ever so slightly where it's like, oh, cool, I can't wait to see what this one does. And it's like that with unlocking characters of like, oh, wow, I had so much fun doing that race and now I can go and do that with a different character that I couldn't use before. Like that getting those little notifications of you got a new thing in this game that you can use in it, that's what I love.
Big fucking story beats are the things that tend to get me the most.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I remember the older Halo games used to get me with the endings of like the 1 and 3, I guess, where you'd have to do that last like fucking drive away from everything.
Yeah.
That was always really cool. Like the music was good. And like when everything ties together like that in a real cinematic way.
Yeah.
All the old Metal Gear games, all that sort of stuff. When something's real fucking, I guess I'm saying I like well-made things.
I like
when the story does some cool peak climactic moment.
Yeah, right. I think mine are more like the ephemeral things that will never happen again in that exact particular way.
That's everything, man.
I just love life.
Yeah, that's the way it moves.
But,
baby.
Like, I'm not great at platformers. And so, like, when you get past that ridiculously hard level in Crash Bandicoot or whatever, that's like the, oh, yeah, fuck, I am satisfied that I get that.
Yeah, that feeling of finally clearing the ledge that's taken you half a day to do.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though, Ben, in the way that I've never, like, unlocking shit and...
Yeah.
Just that sort of visible progression has never really mattered.
Yeah, totally. Like leveling up is just like a means to an end.
But then you're big into like the games where you've got a big old checklist.
Yeah.
Which is a strange
thing. Yeah, but I think that's less of like being feeling great about getting a trophy. It's more like using a checklist as a way to get me going around the game world and doing
stuff.
Yeah,
sure. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I do find very satisfying? Like we were just saying, when you've spent, maybe a couple of hours just trying to do this one bit of a game and you just cannot do it.
Yeah.
And so you go, oh, fuck this. I'm putting this down for now. And then you come back a day or two later and you just do it instantly.
Oh, with boss fights. Always with boss
just
fights.
When you knock and you feel like, you sort of go, I'm going to pretend that 2-hour session just didn't happen and convince myself that I did this first go.
Yeah, I'm gonna hope that my brain has just like made the connections with the neurons.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to pretend like
because
I'm just...
Because you reach a point where you're doing it again and again and again where it's just like, if you get through it, it's just like, you fucking finally. Whereas when you come to it with fresh eyes, you're like, oh, I actually enjoyed doing that.
Yes.
Instead of just being like, good. Good, I've done it.
Totally. The Dark Souls / Bloodborne games
are
very good for the good version of that, where when you do something, you're like, fuck, I actually earned it that time.
Yeah.
Good on me. I deserve a treat.
God of War, I've only played 3, but that was a great game in where you really did have a gradual and like logical progression of like you just getting better with the controls. Like
that
you just got
those,
faster and...
Yeah.
But it has...
crazy fucking set pieces too,
totally and it's like it's paced so well that you get thrown these great like meaty bosses.
Love where
you
meaty are boss sequel to baby boss or boss baby. Oh well, whatever.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll get rid of the rating system if you stop doing shit like this.
Forgetting the names of things?
Yes, exactly. Drive me crazy.
I'm never going to do it. You're like a regular old Jimmy, what's his name over there?
Yeah, the doorbell.
Yeah.
We have 2 more emails here. Do we?
One of them really ties into what we were just talking about a little bit with the feeling good about unlocking stuff thing.
The
gambling stuff,
and that's
which is
the news as well. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
This comes to us from Tom. As you've certainly seen and spoken of before, we're seeing more and more in-game purchases, sometimes pay to win, sometimes not. My trouble is I fear in-game purchases are going to keep becoming more integral parts of our games since games companies are into getting as much money as they can. Do you think people will stop putting up with it at any point? Mm. And how many people would it take to change anything?
I like that particular detail.
Yes.
3,642.
I feel it's bugging me more and more whenever I see it. And he says, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for reading, boys. Always like it when someone thanks you for reading.
Yeah. You're more than welcome.
Yeah, I took the time out of
Tom?
My day to read it.
No, well, you didn't really read it. You just had it dictated to you.
I've read it earlier.
Oh, well, I mean, I read it before that.
I believe I was the one who copied and pasted it into the document we're using.
I believe
you can go fuck yourself.
I wrote it originally.
Okay.
I'm Tom.
All right.
That's me.
Wow.
I was Tom from MySpace as well.
Are you
Tom.
Tommy Dasilo as
That's
well?
That's me.
Mm. Wow.
I'm a big idiot.
Oh, no. I'm right here as well.
You've ruined the recording with that peaking noise.
Hey, watch
this. Give this 0 melons on the con the fruiter scale. To be honest, I don't really play too many games where that sort of stuff happens. So
right.
I can't really
Was your segue, Nox, that it, like paying for something takes away the satisfaction of achieving it?
No, I think that there is an innate satisfaction in paying for something and unlocking it that's exactly the same as achieving it that people are manipulating in the same way that gambling companies do
right.
to make people fucking spend a huge amount of money on this shit. Like, it's mostly free games and it's mostly multiplayer-focused games and it's mostly cosmetic things that you don't need.
Yes.
So in that way, I'm okay with it as a concept.
Because it's
generally.
Like, well, it's you're not getting any benefits tactically,
exactly.
skill-wise.
You're selling something that's completely optional, and so
sure.
of course it should just be your choice whether you want to buy that or not.
Yeah.
But they're not selling the items directly. The thing that's weird about it is the gambly aspect to it.
Yeah.
Like the new Middle-Earth Shadow of War game is going to have this shit in it. That's a big single-player game that already costs you a full price to get into.
Yep.
And I'm sure that the actual developers weren't the ones who wanted it to be in there. It was probably a big like, hey, boys, how about you put one of this in? I hear it's hot stuff.
Yeah.
No, you don't get it, mate. Do it. I'm the boss.
Yeah.
And I'm a baby. How'd that happen?
In terms of this question, like it coming to an end, I just don't think it ever will. And like it's kind of I get what he's saying, like how many people would have to stop doing
opt
it.
Out
well,
of
it. Just everyone.
Yeah.
Like, like there's any money to be made, then...
Well, and the thing they're doing, they're not looking for volume of people. They're looking for whales. right? And a whale is a real fat dude. No, it's like, so say you have 100 players of a game.
Yeah.
With this thing. Say 90 of them don't buy anything. 9 of them buy one or two things. One of them buys 100
everything.
Things.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So he makes up for the rest of everyone else not doing
it. Yeah.
He or she. But it's probably going to be a he. Because for some reason, I think I read that gambling addiction affects men more than women.
Okay.
Okay, that makes
sense. Like I read that the other day. Mm-hmm. I would you know prefer- what? I probably just read the back of a box of shampoo.
Yeah, I mean...
I get my shampoo in boxes.
Great fact, like, if it is in fact
this?
True.
That's a gamble. yeah.
But yeah, it's that's the nefarious part of it that I really think is crazy, because there's... So say Overwatch, that's a game that's rated, I think, like teen or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can play that if you're 13. You can buy loot boxes in it of stuff that isn't important but has this element of randomness to it that is gambling, essentially.
Yep.
And you can – and so in Battlegrounds, you can buy things, get them randomly – sell them on for the, you can sell those items individually on like this Steam marketplace
thing. Like Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 have
exactly
the auction
and
house.
People can pay real world money and they can have real world value.
Yep.
Counter-Strike had this big fucking controversy where people were doing the same thing on like third party websites.
Yeah
That's the shit that I find real creepy about it.
Yeah,
well, not creepy because gambling exists, but it's
sure
it's
but it's like
but gambling exists and it's creepy, so
exactly
it's filtered.
But and
it
this
normally
case,
exists in heavily regulated, definitely over 18.
It's weird when you see that's become a new like ratings thing, at least here in Australia on our classification board that I've noticed popping up more and more on a game that is kind of a cartoony platformer. It'll be PG because it has
gambling
a gambling.
Elements,
if there's like there's a bit in it where you play a slot machine and there's no real money involved, it still is like, oh, well, this is potentially... You know, it's worth warning because it is, it's triggering that part of you that maybe you go, oh, yeah, I love
and,
this.
And totally. This is like something like with a Call of Duty or whatever. It's like 14-year-olds who are like, it's easier to present to them a situation in which they go, I have to have this gun.
Yeah.
I have to have this so I can be on my team and be the best in my team, win the deathmatch. And
even
it's,
even if it's just an aesthetic thing, people still go fucking nuts about it. Like, and imagine if sneakers only came in random boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
How many fucking fights there'd be.
Yeah.
Remember Pokemon cards when they were big?
Yeah.
People were beating the shit out of each other for them.
Those toys.
And that was just me beating up actual children when I was 27, my current age.
When I was.
Those figurines that you get. That they're in blind boxes.
Yeah.
I always find that weird because it's like, I just want a Bender Futurama toy. Like, why am I gambling on maybe getting, you know, that's such a weird angle to me. It's like,
You
made these cool toys. What's wrong with just letting people get the ones they want?
It's because it fucking works. It's because people really buy into it because it hits that dopamine part of you and that little bit of risk or that little bit of like, oh, what's going to happen is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, I think it's very obvious that we are all into it. We think microtransactions in games are great, in-game purchases. Bring it on, more of them, I say.
Yeah,
fuck microtransactions. By the way, we've got all our bonus episodes up for $1 or more.
What do you say we wrap this up for another week?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a long boy.
Bit like UA plugger.
There we go. Thanks for listening, guys. All our bonus episodes and all the ways to get in contact with us, filthycasuals.com. Let us know. Oh, sorry. Filthycasuals.com.au. Let us
You're back in Australia now, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget
sorry,
the
mate.
.au.
.biz. Let us know your...
Don't go to filthycasuals.biz.
Yeah.
That's not us either. Okay. Say the real one again,
filthycasuals.com.au.
Good.
Let us know your examples that you might have of games, the style winning you over more than the gameplay or vice versa, or things that you just haven't been able to get into because of the aesthetic.
Totally. What games are you being like manipulated into paying more for? Like, what else do we talk about on this
Everything
episode?
I've ever bought at EB Games.
Endings. Any endings that you thought, do you want the ending to absolutely beat your ass? When has that happened and you've been satisfied by it? Or what
and,
some...
and general most satisfying moments in games.
Let us know all of that. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. Get on iTunes, give us a review and all that stuff. It does help us get up the charts and get more, you know, get more people coming in.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode here of Filthy Casuals,
Hope you enjoyed our conversation about satisfying endings. Leave the coffin, it's important.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.